He went from DB High to DBU, somehow ended up in Detroit. He's in more private clubs than a swinger. He's as open-minded as anyone I've ever met, yet does discriminate against white condiments. He's a football theorist. He's an All-American. He is the one and only, number 21, Rod Babers.
And my co-host is, he's a lifetime Longhorn, but first, a lifetime Austin Knight, a conservative liberal who doesn't discriminate, which is why his dating history looks a lot like a commercial for the Rainbow Coalition. He was a reality TV star before it ever was a thing, and yes, he's only got one ball, but more testicular fortitude than you or your whole team. He is my co-host, the estimable Kevin Dunn. What's going on, brother?
I'm doing well, man. It's kind of weird on Tuesday. As we're looking at the show, and I'm like, oh, we got to treat this like a Friday. So we're going to get into all the weekend stuff, all the games, and all the stuff as we're going to be hopefully eating and just relaxing. We will have, obviously, pregame and postgame for the Friday game against Kansas State. We are at Randall's off of 620, 5145.
5145 North FM 620.
620. Beautiful. As you start to get out here and you see the water, it's like, man, this is a nice area.
Oh, well, yeah, it's a nice area.
Well, I know. I knew it was a nice area, but then you get out here, kind of reminds you a little bit. We're at the Steiner Ranch location, so maybe if you got to do a little bit of shopping, you can come on by and say hi. We've already had some people come by and say hi. They're getting ready. They got some bakery, some cookies. That looks good.
Mm-hmm.
It's that time. Yeah. You got to hit the store. You better hit it now.
Man, this is not the time usually you find me in the grocery stores.
I didn't think so.
But they, you know, for the remote, of course, for work, but usually I avoid the grocery stores around Thanksgiving. Man, it's a madhouse. But this is actually pretty good.
It is.
Hey, this might be a little early, so you ain't got the rush going yet. Like maybe this is when you should get all your stuff done. So maybe this would be the Randall's where you get all your Thanksgiving shopping out of the way because it doesn't seem to be that hectic.
No, it's got a good vibe.
And cool. Yeah, I like it.
It's relaxed. We are registering people for Texas and K-State tickets, including an upgrade, VIP upgrade. So that could be really fun. With that, you get to hang out, take a picture with Bevo, get on the field, and all that stuff.
Get to bang Big Bertha.
And if you've never banged Big Bertha, you're missing out.
Yeah. I've banged her, but not officially. There's an unofficial banging.
All right, well, talk about the banging.
I wasn't doing like a game. Okay. Banging Big Brother during the game is different. Like, that's the official, boom, you can bang her. But
I didn't know if that was a slump buster for you.
No. The Big Bertha is the drum, for those who don't know.
I know. It's like just realized.
Well, you did not. But no, and if those who don't realize, sorry, we were not being perverted there.
No.
No. But y'all's mind is in the gutter.
We were kind of playing both lanes.
No, I was
playing
not at all. No, lanes. I was not
you're,
at all. I was talking
you're playing
about
passing lanes.
No, it's at
we need that.
Well, I can anticipate.
Yes, you can.
Read the routes a little
you
bit.
You can
though.
Read routes.
Yeah.
Yeah, I thought about what you said. There, you know, there's so many things, and we will get into Texas K-State. Bijan saying he's coming back is definitely a good thing.
Say it was God's plan.
It's God's plan. Yeah. And listen to God.
Yeah. Or all listen right. to Drake.
Or either one. Whichever one tells you to stay at Texas.
I don't know if it was a play. I don't know if the God's plan remark was a play on Drake's song, God's Plan, or if it was just God's plan. For him, I'm sure it's one, maybe it's both. I don't know.
We got Patrick Davis, who's producing back at the station. We always appreciate Patrick. We're going to get you a Longhorn Blitz podcast at 7 o'clock. And a special lights coming at 8 o'clock. Shout out to Rick and them. With changing the schedule, we didn't promote him last week. I felt bad about it, but that's a really good show.
We apologize. That's on us. If you don't listen to the show, we're pretty scatterbrained.
Oh, my God. Right.
We do miss a lot of things. Usually we get emails about them, and it's like, hey, you guys missed this? Like, oh,
yeah. We did.
We were too busy talking about what?
Football.
Banging Big Bertha.
And so banging Big Bertha.
So we missed it.
And those two things coming together a little bit. Hey, did the EGAT podcast. That'll be out tonight.
Oh, nice.
So listen to Longhorn Blitz, listen to Under the Lights, and then maybe this week you can listen to EGAT. And one thing we got into that I think we've done a good job of kind of hitting all the bigger bullet points with the Texas football program. There's a lot to get to. But strength and conditioning.
Semi-automatic or something?
Yeah, I know.
That's a lot of bullet points there.
That's a lot. Better be able to fire.
Take the pin out.
Strength and conditioning. This team does not look
we haven't even
strong,
talked, man.
And
we haven't
gotten into
that.
Tory Beckton
Jeff,
in a lot.
Jeff Howe asked about it at the media availability. I'll give him credit. He asked about it.
I got to give him a lot of love, and I heard it, and I was like, that's my boy Jeff Howe right there.
Yeah.
Because that is something this team, you know, and you can go with individual guys. I think Keandre Coburn probably wanted to get into better shape, endurance, And
he called himself, well, he didn't call himself out, but he talked about that at the Big 12 Media Days.
And he didn't have the same strength. That his pad level was bad. That, there were a lot of things that, that go into that. But this is also a team for, now they're second half team now. So let's get our narrative straight.
Oh, that's the last couple of weeks. So they are in better shape.
They are in better shape. That'll be Torrey Beckham. What's up, brother? Now.
We talk to Coach, he'll be like, Coach, honestly, toward the end of the year, you guys were a second-half team.
Yeah.
That's on strength and conditioning, Coach.
Oh, God. But that is one of the many things that Sark has to completely reevaluate this offseason. You got to look at every single coach, every single player. You got to look at yourself, and you got to look at strength and conditioning. Mm-hmm. What does this program need to do in the offseason?
I totally agree with you about the strength and conditioning, too. And, you know, he hinted earlier in the year that they have the – look on the biometric scans or whatever, right? They have these different sensors, these really highly sensitive sensors that they have on the players that gives you all of the vital signs. So their heart rate and the blood pressure and, you know, blood oxygen levels and all these things that will be able to tell you if they're wearing down later in the game.
That thing's like a toy in the 80s.
I know.
It'll look good on the commercial and you get it home and you're like, this doesn't do that.
Exactly.
This isn't that cool.
This isn't that cool. What are you talking
about? The commercial one.
Trust me, I'm with you. I'm not saying I believe in it. I'm just saying, like he said earlier in the year, they have all that, and all of their data tells them that these guys are not wearing down in the fourth quarter. They're not wearing down in the second half. The eye test would beg to disagree. The eye test would beg to disagree, but that's what he says. That's what Sark says.
Well, whatever he's been saying, hook him. Thank you for coming by. Happy Thanksgiving, y'all. We're already having a lot of people coming by here, man.
Oh, man, I love it. It's the best part of the job is hanging out, meeting the fans.
It is. But he said a lot of stuff in the offseason that didn't come true. So what we're asking you and what you've talked about a lot, you say it all the time, and you're exactly right. Coaching is about solving problems, and it's constant adjustments. Oh, yeah. I did the one and done yesterday about Ryan Day. It's easy to look at what they're doing right now. Ryan Day has actually gone through a lot as a head coach and has had to make a lot of different adjustments, including firing the DC who he hired.
And I think he's still on the staff, right?
He Kerry Combs is still on the staff.
So give Kerry Combs some credit, but it was a demotion. So he still wanted him around. He's like, hey, I still value you, but, hey, we need you to do something different around here. You can't. This job is
You're not calling plays.
I want you on the team,
right,
but in a different capacity. And he made it work. So you're right. That was about solving the problem. And he also solved the problem of the pride and ego of a coach. Hey, you should have some pride and ego about your job. And if you're not good at it, then you end up being, you know, demoted on the staff. That's working with a lot of different factors to try to make that work. So I've always said that about Coach. And Sark brought that up, actually, in the media availability this week. He talked about, you guys don't know, a lot of different things come across my desk that I got to figure out behind the scenes. I'm like, yeah, I've been trying to tell people for a while. Coaches are just, they solve so many different problems. You guys don't see 85% of them. What you see is on the field, which is about 15%. Every other thing behind the scenes, coaching the coaches, the player issues that pop up. You got to be a counselor here.
Girlfriend broke up with them.
Oh, man. No, yep. So you got to be a relationship therapist, and expert at some time. I mean, just all these different, you know, recruiter, talent evaluator, talent development, nutrition.
Nutrition.
And strength and conditioning. I mean, you got to learn to be an expert in a lot of different things and then hire the right people where you don't have expertise so that their strength is your weakness, and then you can trust them to do their job. Now, you're PK, you don't have that. So you got to go into the defensive meeting room and reverse engineer the entire defense this offseason. Reverse engineer the entire thing. Sit down with PK and go, all right, what do you need? What do you need? I can't fire you, because if I fire you, then everybody's – I'm next.
How do we fix this?
If I fire you, everybody's going to start looking at me next. All right, so we ain't firing nobody.
I'm not playing that card yet.
I'm not playing
next October if we don't finish this.
Amen, brother.
Or fix this.
Which is why I may bring in the Mac Brown consultant to come consult the defense just in case, you know, the fit hits the shan and I got to go, sorry, bro, you out. This guy's in. We saw it with Greg Robinson. We've seen it before. So sit down with PK and figure it out. I think you got to reverse engineer the whole damn thing. I've said it forever. The Big 12, you know, we've studied this league, right? I think that's why I love all the great, different media outlets that cover Texas around here for years. So we've covered this Big 12 extensively. We now know the transformation, the transmogrification the league has undertaken. Now, we all joke now, essentially the NFL, which now looks like the old Big 12, Big 12 is already done with that. Everybody's talking about the SEC now as a high-flying space and pace league. The Big 12 is like, oh, we did that already. Now we've actually moved on to a different hybrid spread football. We are a running league, cross-dressing as a passing league, and now we spread you to run with defense. And
funny how that narrative changed, though, because remember,
Big
12 plays no defense. And then the SEC starts playing like the Big 12, and it's high-powered offense.
High-powered offense. Unbelievable. Groundbreaking. Innovative. Creative offense.
No, it's not. They were doing this 10 years ago in our neighborhood.
They were doing it before Mike Leach brought it in, because he brought it from his Hal with Hal Mummy and back then. So it goes way, way back. But the point is, I think you need to sit down with PK and also study the league. In addition to reverse engineering the defense,
no question.
Study the league.
Know your neighborhood a little bit more.
Man, know your ecosystem.
Yeah.
You gotta learn your ecosystem, and then you must build a thorough game plan and identity based on winning your ecosystem to be the biggest predator and to be the baddest mofo in your ecosystem. And right now, that ain't Texas.
No.
Texas is way down on
They're a Kansas
chain.
Went away from being last place.
Yeah. No, I'm with you.
You know that, right?
Exactly. So you're not a predator anymore. You're prey.
You are.
Right? You're in Texas. You're prey.
You're
at this
a hobbled
point.
Squirrel.
You're a
can't climb a tree.
A hobbled squirrel.
Yeah.
Wow. I was going to go
Or you're a squirrel who has a fear of heights, which is not a good combo. I promise you, there's a squirrel out there who's got a fear of heights.
No. A hobbled squirrel is a dead squirrel.
It's a dead
squirrel. Let's be honest. That squirrel's time is...
It's lunch for a raccoon or something.
That squirrel's time is very limited. I was going to go with right now Texas reminds me of a turtle on its back. Just, baking in the sun, just kind of waiting for somebody to flip it over.
Do we have enough bite, though? Do we have enough snap?
I don't even know if we're that kind of turtle. I think we're the other kind, the passive kind right now. But either way, I agree. Right now, in your ecosystem, Texas doesn't know its ecosystem. Defensively, I'm talking about defensively.
Right.
Offensively, different discussion. Yeah.
All right, so Texas, Kansas State. I don't know who's going to play quarterback in this game for either team. Could be Will Howard. Could be Jaron. Who am I missing here?
We'll spill the pill.
Howard. We'll spill the pill.
He will
apparently
spill
wanted
the
a red shirt this year. And then for Texas.
And I think that's why the other young man, the third string here, and I'll get that for you in just a second. He may be an option because they still believe Will spill the pill. Mm-hmm. Howard could be their future at the quarterback position after Skylar Thompson's done, and Skylar Thompson seems to be done.
Yeah.
Unless he's got another year somehow. I honestly, the COVID exemption has just
–
Jaron Lewis, thank you very much. The COVID exemption has messed me up. I have no idea what anybody's classification is anymore. I have no idea.
I was always so good about that.
You were great at it.
And I was also that real anal guy in a conversation with that. And it'd be like, Major Applewhite did it as a freshman. He did it as a redshirt freshman. Don't discount that redshirt year.
True freshman, redshirt freshman.
That's a big difference.
Huge
big difference.
I told you. That's like the difference between an escort and a hooker. You don't think it's a big difference. That's a big difference there. And in price alone.
It's a huge difference. But I'm thrown off with that too. Now, there are some guys that could come back. Coburn's going to walk. It's a senior day.
So he's done. Like he's exhausted all
but
his
he could come back.
So see, I don't. Yeah,
why? Well, what are you going to do unless you go transfer somewhere else? Which
no,
you may
I'm
do.
Just saying I don't. Yeah, I didn't know. I don't know who has that extra year and who doesn't. Do they all have that extra year?
Everyone has the extra year, but some guys may have been using that this year.
This year was the extra year. For
Anthony Cook, Deshaun Jameson, and DeMarvion Overshown are all seniors who could actually fill that extra year, and all three of those guys are not going to walk with the seniors tomorrow, which would indicate that those guys are coming back, and all three should come back, especially Overshown. Overshown has some good things on film. He's got a lot of bad things. He's not physical enough to play that position right now. He needs to come back because he actually has a pro future, but right now it's all potential.
Yeah, no, I'll agree with you on that. It'll be interesting. If they get some of those DBs to come back, I'm assuming that's good news. It'll help them bridge the gap between totally reinventing that secondary, which is what they're going to have to do. To play the type of football that PK wants to implement and the system wants to implement, he needs a corner, a couple corners, a couple of DBs, really, because I think one of those guys needs to be a slot guy, just a very versatile defender that can win one-on-ones. Now, essentially, you can leave him one-on-ones and you can trust him. And right now, Texas does not have – I don't even know if those corners are on campus.
that you can just trust to win one-on-ones at least half the time, or, you know, right around there.
We haven't seen him right now. I mean, we haven't seen him so far.
I don't think so. And I think even if DeSean Jameson comes back, I don't think he's going to become that overnight.
No, he won't.
He is what he is, pretty much. And we're not saying he's a bad player. I'm just saying he's
a really good returner.
He's a really good returner. And, you know, dependent on the type of system he's in, I think he's actually a decent, good corner. But he's a system-specific guy. He's got to be the right system.
What is that system for him?
He's playing zone coverage.
Eyes being able to anticipate.
Yeah, just being able, never really being responsible for like manning up, because I think, unfortunately, he's proven that him and Josh Thompson, I think they're at their worst when they're manned up, but they're very exploitable. I should say that.
Best news is Bijan says he's coming back. As we said, God told him to. So listen to God.
Listen to God.
Please listen.
Look
to
at God. Look at God.
If God's telling you something, go. So we talked about supply and demand with coaches, and done that the last couple weeks as more coaches get fired. Supply and demand also with the amount of teams that could actually go to a bowl game. And you actually sent this nugget today. It was Kevin.
Kevin Little.
Little, yeah. Who said he was doing the math.
Apparently he did the math.
And that a 5-7 Texas team that would obviously have to beat Kansas State. And especially
keep
considering the name that Texas has, oh God, that they could end up being in a bowl game.
Prayers up for that.
Would you want that? You still take that with the practice time and all that?
I'm gonna say, and I know this as a let me approach it as a player, because that's more what I know. That's in my heart. I wouldn't want it. I'd feel a little bit ashamed of it.
If we win, we're still under 500.
I wouldn't want to be rewarded for my mediocrity as a player.
Good for you.
I need to go back to work at that point. If I'm not good enough to be a part of a team to make a bowl game, that reflects on me. I need to start work immediately. I don't need to go somewhere where I'm in a semi-vacation spot and get somebody, you know, giving me bowl gear and bowl gifts. And, nope, I don't need that. Nope, I need to go back to work. I need to start immediately. And as a player, that's how I would feel. And there are other schools out there, you know, that are probably more deserving. Because for Texas to be at 5 wins, that is shameful. For some other school that may be building their program up, maybe from the ground up or something.
It'd be a good year.
It may be a good year for them. They may deserve that bowl game. They're more deserving of the bowl experience than we are. Texas isn't deserving of that bowl game. That's shameful.
I'm with you.
Texas shouldn't be there. And you know what? That's how they should all feel. That should be a leader that says, guys, we don't deserve it. And I feel bad for the seniors. I feel bad for the seniors because they deserve to go to a bowl game. But the seniors should step up and go, no, this is my brand that's going to be on my tombstone, with a brand that you want to start the culture the right way. The culture cannot start with mediocrity.
And some accountability.
I'm a
senior. And
exactly right.
I'm part of this.
Exactly.
I'm part of
my name is on it.
Right.
My name is on it. I can't escape this. I can't escape Oklahoma 2000. I can't escape that.
As much as you try, but I always bring you back.
It's one of my scarlet letters. I wear it. And I wear it with a little bit of pride, too, because you know what? I think it made me a better player. It made us a better team. I remember us wearing that shame together. It's like, nah, that's us together, man. You know, we put that pile up on the field. We didn't show up for our fans, and our fans showed up more than we did. That should never happen. So, I wouldn't take it.
I showed, but I bailed. But at least I showed.
Everybody should have bailed. We didn't show up. That was a shameful product we put on the field that day. With the name of Texas. We should have stripped the damn name. We should have put black markers and scratched the name off that damn day.
Oh, to get back to those problems, though, where there's only one team that we can't beat.
Yeah, no, you're right about that. Now we're at a different place. So, and I exactly. So I, that's how I come from that mindset, though. And I realize now we're in a different place. Maybe they need those practices. And not maybe, they do. So we're in a different place now. My mindset was, like I said, we won 10 games or 11 games 2 years in a row, and that was a disappointment. And it was understood across that locker room. 11 games. You won 11 games. But we disappointed, didn't we? Hell yeah, we did. We should have been playing in a national title. Maybe if we'd have played in a national title or a BCS game, then it wouldn't have been a disappointment. But we had the talent to do that.
Doesn't that speak to the mentality of that locker room, though?
I wear that shame. I wear that shame forever.
But that's the mentality that locker room had.
Oh, yeah. No, no.
To this one.
It was we had a national championship mindset. We believed that was the goal. And we basically, the immediate goal was be the best team every time we step out in the field. And we were for like 90% of it.
Yep.
And we slipped up versus Oklahoma and Tech in 02.
The Derek Dorse game.
Yeah. I mean, but that was the goal. Be the best. I mean, and that's not a hard goal. I mean, honestly, you don't have to be the best team the whole damn season.
No, 98 that's, was that. Never mind.
Yeah. Be the best damn team every time you step out there. And Oklahoma was what slipped us up. And we beat ourselves, honestly.
So one more game at least for Texas as they've got Friday against Kansas State.
Senior night.
It's just going to be a weird feeling. My guess is real.
It's emotional. No crying in baseball.
Real attendance will probably be, 50,000?
Yeah, but they're going to announce and what the actual attendance.
Oh, I know. They're going to announce
yeah.
it.
Yeah. No, I'm with you. I think you might be right about that because it's the holidays and, I mean, they're bad. It's the holidays and they're bad. Usually the holidays, you got to deal with that. But usually people will bring their family out to go to the games. Nobody's bringing their family out to go see this team.
The apathy is tangible.
Oh, yeah, it's
and we see it especially in this job.
I'm having a hard time rewatching film. I mean, I'm not going to lie to you. I've gotten rid of it. It's hard for me to motivate myself to rewatch the products because they're so bad. And I have a tangible personal investment. So it's going to be a lot of tears out there, though. I feel bad for the seniors, the guys who are – this is their last game they're ever going to put on a football uniform. Ain't no crying in baseball, but the last time you play football, most guys cry a little bit. I'm not joking.
No,
whether it be high
that.
School or whether it be – they cry a little bit because you can't recreate football. You can go play, pick up basketball 5-on-5 if you want to and go join some rec league. Baseball, you probably can do the same thing. Once football, nobody's going to insure you for that. You're playing football, you're done playing. And these guys, this is – trying to get to 5 wins is going to be – their goal in their last game. So it's going to be a strange transition. Like I said, your mom's out there, your dad's out there, you're crying and people hugging and kissing, and then you're like, all right, let's go whoop some dudes. But
and for a lot of these guys, there's not a next level. For y'all, there was. It was, this is my last time in burnt orange, yeah. But I'm going to go play in the league.
Oh, yeah. And we had – I think A&M was our last game most of the time, too.
It was. That's the other weird thing about
great.
This.
So I had fun in my last game. It was like, oh – look at the whip the Aggies on my way out. Oh, it's going to be awesome.
And y'all did.
And it did. And I think, oh, man, 0-2, I believe we actually beat them pretty bad. But it was, I mean, but you knew it was going to be a game. I mean, the Aggies weren't going to roll over for you. But it was always a good product at the end. I think the fans also, that's what incentivized them to come out. I mean, it's a rival.
Right.
Coming out for you. Don't have that now. K-State.
I was laughing at EGAT today. I go, when I think about my childhood, I think about K-State the day after Thanksgiving.
Exactly.
It just brings me back.
It does nothing for you.
No, it does nothing.
Does nothing.
To combine with this team. So,
exactly.
I'm not sure that was a good sales pitch for us. Hey, we're at Randall's. We're giving away Texas, Kansas State tickets. We are going to upgrade you to VIP.
That's a good sales pitch. How you like that?
Right there. Lots of college football. We got some on Thanksgiving, Friday, Saturday. Should be a good weekend. We're going to delve into that. This is RBKD, and this is The Horn.
All right, welcome back to RBKD. We're hanging out here at the Randalls. Having a good time. The folks out here are so kind and nice. Turns out we got a lot of folks who love the station out here.
Yeah.
And special shout out to Tamara.
Tamara the Camera.
Also known as Tamara the Camera. Is it Tamara the Camera Girl?
That's what she said.
Tamara the Camera Girl.
Precision Camera.
So there you go. Shout out if you need a camera or something. Boom. How about that? Tamara the Camera Girl. That's pretty good. So we are at 5145 North FM 620. That Randall's. So come on out here. Signing up folks, registering folks to win a pair of tickets to the Texas K-State game coming up on Friday. So the week is all crazy and strange, and we're actually off. This is our last day of shows. Well, I say that, take that back, because Craig's doing like the Tower tomorrow, so it's not the last day of shows, and we're going to have live shows tomorrow. So I take that back. It's our last show. Live shows will be on The Horn tomorrow. Let me make sure I get this right, so I don't want to disrespect anybody.
We're going out with some muskrats here, too.
Yeah. Oh, I expect nothing less out here.
This is going to make your top five.
Steiner country. I expect nothing less. But Yes, tomorrow, like I said, Light the Tower, Craig Way is actually going to do the show, but also all the other shows will be live just with different hosts.
Yes.
We're going to have guest hosts that are going to be hosting all the shows. I have not gotten the lineup. Did you get
I know what our show is going to be.
Who's hosting our show?
Because I helped put it together with Chad.
Oh, good. I like
it's
this.
A great
Who's
trio.
Who's hosting our show?
We got Patrick Davis.
My man, Patrick Davis.
Who's producing today.
At It's Patrick Davis in the Twitterverse.
Insincere is great stuff. Yep. So Patrick will be there, Stephen Kabler, and then also Cameron.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
I like that. Okay. Yeah, there you go. So we got a nice MVP team, all-star team. I like that. That's pretty cool.
Chad and Trey have a recorded show.
So they're going to do a best of.
They did a bunch of interviews today, as you know.
And, I mean, Trey.
Including Brian Jones. who knows what BJ's going to say.
Including Brian Jones. Did you ever want to give your opinion on the Brian Jones? Do we want to give opinions on this?
We can give our opinion on it. I mean, honestly, I've been thinking about so much other stuff with Texas football.
This is not that this you don't
is,
care about it
it's
at
like
all?
Number 21 for me.
But it is another salacious, you know, issue for Texas away from the football field.
Agreed.
That I mean, I don't think it's a distraction in the locker room. I don't think that's a locker room, but it is something that Sark had to address at his media availability.
If what Brian said is true, they'd probably give a damn.
Well,
they
yeah, I don't know, and I don't think. Listen, I love Brian Jones, and Brian Jones is the real deal, and Brian Jones is connected. That is that those things are all true, very connected, as you know, KD. But
yes.
About that, I don't know about all that. I haven't.
I don't either.
Exactly. So that I cannot vouch for. But like I said, I vouch for Brian Jones. Brian Jones is good people, and usually Brian Jones is, like I said, he's got a lot of connections and usually is a man who's pretty on point with that kind of stuff, but not sure about that. And Sark said he's upset Brian Jones and hit him up.
Yeah.
So apparently Brian Jones is connected enough where Sark's like, dude, you got my number. You talked to me before. Like, me and you have text. You got my number. So I don't know why he didn't hit up Sark and ask Sark. But what's Sark supposed to say? If it is true, like, I'm not saying it is true, but if it is true, Sark is not going to – he can't bring that up. He can't say anything about that.
He can't admit it.
No way.
But I also –
You can't even give it life. You have to try to kill it.
I would really hope that's not true, and I would suspect it's probably not true.
I don't think it's true.
There could be fragments in there of
– This is from the eyes of Texas. You remember all the emails that became public and people start talking about, you know, the very bigoted parts of the donor base. Which, hey, in the South, there are a lot of bigoted parts of donor bases.
You got some of Michigan, man.
Just like parts of society.
Yes.
I mean, they're just
right. It'll mirror that.
No doubt about it. All right, let's get to some other items here. Let's talk some college football here and the biggest games of the weekend. I must admit it, and I hate to admit it, I'm looking forward to Bedlam.
I am too.
I'm looking forward to Bedlam, man. I can't wait. I know
this could be one of the last ones too. Mike Gundy talked about that. Mike Gundy said, "I'm not sure about the future of this."
I haven't thought about that, but you're right. I mean, if they leave this year, if they have to stay in the Big 12 one more year, I guess you get one more. But then it would be because it's in Stillwater this year, correct?
It is in Stillwater,
so it'll be the last one in Stillwater then. Ooh, man, it's Gundy's smart. That's why he said that.
Yeah,
to get there. He thinks, not that you have to get these fans even more rabid for their, you know, their rival, but their top rival. But yeah, he wants them to make sure like it's the last one. So if you need to be out there potentially, you know, throwing stuff on the field, be ready to do that. All right, be ready to help your team win.
Let's go Tennessee possible. If we have to.
Let's do whatever we got to do. This is gonna be a big game. I'm excited about it. I think Oklahoma State's gonna win. You know, I'm a big Oklahoma State guy. I love the recipe, kind of the reinvention of this Mike Gundy model. I think it's, for this season, it's a more stable way for him to win rather than the offensive-oriented model.
Yep.
The defense, I said it was top 10. You said it was top 5. I think you may be right. It's closer to being a top 5 defense than a top 10 defense. Not saying, you know, either one is a disrespect, but I think you're right. I think it's a top 5 defense.
They've been damn good, man.
They've gotten better.
They've gotten better. And you talk about route recognition. Their secondary is really smart.
Yep.
Sark has kind of hit that IQ thing a couple times. They've got a high football IQ.
They
it's a well-coached football team, and they know exactly what they're doing. Yeah, they're a four-point favorite. Gundy is the best coach in Oklahoma State history, but, man, he's had problems against Oklahoma.
Yes, he has.
That has been his kryptonite. Nope. So I think the thought is Oklahoma State's a better team, But does Oklahoma just have something against Oklahoma State? 4-point favorite with Oklahoma State. What would you do with that? You taking Oklahoma State?
I'm taking Oklahoma State. Listen, Oklahoma State has covered, what, 8 straight weeks
They've
now?
They've been really damn good. Thank you, brother. Appreciate it. Happy Thanksgiving.
Yeah, they are a covering machine. So Oklahoma State, man, I'll take them, and I'll take them to cover. They're a covering machine. I will. It's unbelievable how well-disciplined that defense is. But I'll give Gundy a lot of credit. Gundy has been able to subdue his ego and his pride and decide, no, they're better without really me meddling in the offense and me trying to make this an offensive juggernaut. Let's just win with defense and special teams and ball control.
Mm-hmm.
Give it up, man. Yeah, give it up. And I think it's working for him, no question about it.
No,
I'll pick Oklahoma State.
Okay, yeah, I'm going to go with Oklahoma State too. Yeah. I think that Oklahoma State is – they're kind of a Baylor team, but a better version. The sum is better than the individual parts.
I like that.
It's just a good football team. Yep. They work around Spencer Sanders. Caleb Williams could be the X factor in this game.
I like that.
Because he's opened up their run game, and they're going to have to run. Their offensive line with Biedenbo this year just has not been what it usually is. It's good, but it's not great. And then also down the field, they just have not had that electric passing attack that we've come to know with Oklahoma.
Yeah, I think they are a flawed Lincoln Riley offense this year, and usually a Lincoln Riley offense doesn't have that many flaws. But this is might be the most sound defense that we've had in the Big 12 since, man, we're talking about maybe TCU in 2014.
I
think you're maybe talking about TCU 2014. I'm trying to think about one that was more solid. I mean, Texas had good defenses in 2017 and 2014, but that 2014 TCU defense was pretty buttoned up, well disciplined, talented, well coached the entire way through. That's what Jim Knowles' defense looks like.
Every angle, every
of it.
Little,
every
spot,
level, of
every
it
level
had playmakers.
Really, really good. Ole Miss, Mississippi State is going to be the Thanksgiving game. That'll be ESPN 6:30. Mississippi State 1.5-point favorite. This has turned in now. It was sexy when they were both in the top five and you had Dan Mullen and Dak Prescott and that Mississippi State team. But this is fun just with the coaches in general. Mm-hmm. Matt Corral, quarterback, but you've got Lane Kiffin and Mike Leach.
I know. This is sexy. I got to make sure I got the DVR set for the Egg Bowl. I think it is kind of must-watch television because between those guys, and I love this between coaches. Between some coaches, they have a lot of gamesmanship between one another, and they will try to one-up one another.
Yeah.
Like, there's some, once they get different play calls, we've seen this in the NFL, right, between, like, Shano and got Sean Payton. He's going up against an elite play caller at Sean McVay. It's like, yeah, I'm trying to one-up this guy. And I think you'll get some of that with Lane Kiffin.
Lane Kiffin.
Exactly. And so with Mike Leach, both of those guys, oh, yeah, they love the spotlight. They love the stage. Oh, it's going to be fantastic. Get your popcorn ready.
Yeah, no, that never really excited me as a kid. Just to have football on Thanksgiving was fun. But the Egg Bowl this year has a different feel to
it,
especially with those two coaches. We'll see if we get a shootout. Ohio State at Michigan, that'll be on Saturday, 11 a.m. on Fox. So you can check that out early. Ohio State, an 8-point favorite. Are you buying this Michigan team enough? Because I look at 8, and I still want to take Ohio State with the line. I'm taking Ohio State to win.
I'm taking Ohio State with the line. I hate to say it. I want to pick Harbaugh so bad.
But hey, it was a good year. They're 10-1, so they can finish 10-2.
And listen, I think Harbaugh actually is doing a really good job there. You know, I've been a Harbaugh fan for a while. Thank God he's finally turning it around after they decided to double down on Harbaugh.
We both like that move.
I love the move.
Because it's patience in an era where there is no patience and kind of a realization that we probably need to stick this out, even if we don't want him right
and
now.
And so I was like, well, how are you going to upgrade? Who are you going to get that's right. better? You're going to have that conversation, too.
Supply and demand, too, is what we talked about.
Nebraska did the same thing. It was like, well, who are you going to
exactly
get that's
what
better?
They did.
This guy was considered our homegrown savior. He was one of us.
Right.
One of us. And he also failed. And it's like, well, where do we go from here? So I like that move. But I'm with you, man. Those three first-round prospect wide receivers for Ohio State, I just don't know if – I don't know. Georgia, like you said, is the only team that may have the DBs to cover all three.
Nebraska was a favorite. This line has changed, but they're 3-8, and they're taking on Iowa, who's kind of fallen apart late in the season, and Iowa's only a 1.5-point favorite. So Nebraska may actually, I think they're actually making more progress
than
what their record would show. No, they are. They're a better team. That's why I picked them in the line a couple times, including Oklahoma, and ended up covering.
I totally agree with you. I've watched them a few times, and they are better, but you got to win. You got to find a way to get the wins, and they're not really doing that yet, so it's not paying off totally, but I do think they're a better team.
Tech at Baylor is a Big 12 game. Baylor, a 14-point favorite. Alabama-Auburn, the Iron Bowl, that'll be 2:30 on Saturday. Bama, a 19.5-point favorite. Mm. Auburn had their stretches here, but this is not the – you know, they've kind of fallen apart.
They had a lot of steam early on.
They did.
And they've lost it. Now Bo Nix is out, right?
Yes, T.J. Sanders will be the guy.
So, yeah, I think that. I think a lot of their hopes rested on
all
Bo Nix.
Six of them.
Taking his game to the next level, which he did for like maybe a month.
Yeah.
He did, and then ended up getting hurt, so.
Patrick just sent us this. Appreciate Patrick on top of it. Penn State and head coach James Franklin reached agreement on a new 10-year contract that keeps him under contract through 2031. That's courtesy of Adam Schefter. Look at Schefty jumping in on the college game.
Man.
And I was starting to hear that the last couple of days because the temperature had cooled on James Franklin. I will repeat, if you are hiring a coach – based on what they've done the last four or five games, your hiring process is flawed.
Yeah.
And it's prisoner of the moment.
Totally agree.
Now, I'm not a James Franklin guy. Yeah. Neither is Rod. No. So we would have told you when they were seven in the country, and we did.
It's a fugazi.
He's not our guy. We're not shocked where Penn State is.
Yeah.
But I'm just saying if that changed, you were going to hire him at LSU or USC, but the last four or five games, what?
Yeah, that makes no sense. I'm with you.
You need to change your process.
Yeah, I'm with you. I don't know if that, but it sounds like you're right. It sounds like that was the case because we were hearing reports that, you know, teams like USC and LSU were interested in James Franklin. Hell, he was considered one of the top candidates for some of those jobs.
Yeah.
And now like, he's going to be able to pick his job, apparently. And now we hear, he's going to stay at Penn State. And maybe he wanted to stay at Penn State, but that wasn't the feeling we got. That he wanted to stay there.
Not with the Jimmy Sexton move when he made it.
Exactly. I forgot about the Jimmy Sexton move. Yeah, good point.
No, that kind of told us that James Franklin may be looking at other stuff. Penn State at Michigan State, and Penn State is favored by one, so we'll see how that plays out. Once again, another team who's unranked, who's facing a top-10 team and is a dog.
That's crazy.
Top-10 team is a dog.
That's crazy. I'll take Michigan State, though. I ain't Penn State this distracted. But you know what? Actually, maybe this galvanizes him. If he's staying,
this may clear it up a little bit.
That's a good point. Yeah, maybe that clears things up, that if he's coming back.
All right, so college football this weekend, Georgia Tech. Georgia's going to beat them by 100. Glad to have it back. This is kind of a Friday here on RBKD, as Rod mentioned. We're going to have a show tomorrow.
Do we have picks to make?
Rod and I think about that. Oh, yeah, we I think we need to do that later on. Supreme.
Oh, yeah, we do, actually.
We'll do that at 6:30.
Okay, you know what? We'll get that done.
Yeah, we are way behind. We're going to miss something today. I know we are. I just hope it's not too important. Hey, coming up next, we do have some Texas hoops this week and weekend, and we'll give you a little preview of that. This is RBKD on the Horn. RBKD back here at Randall's Steiner Ranch. Come on out and say hi. Lots of people already have. You can sign up for Kansas State tickets as well. A little VIP upgrade if you would like to do that. We will have some Texas basketball tomorrow as the men will be in action, taking on California Baptist. It'll be a 7:30 tip at the Drum, 7 o'clock pregame. So Patrick, Steven, and Cameron will take you all the way up for that to that pregame. California Baptist is actually 5-0 this year, Rod.
Interesting.
I mean, no great wins in there. They got.
How do you know that? You've been betting on California Baptist?
No, I haven't. I just looked at them last night. San Francisco. No, trust me, I'm not betting on.
How do you know so much about California Baptist?
Yeah, I just did the prep on it. Trust me, that's it. San Francisco State. They beat Mississippi Valley State. Jerry Rice must have been hurt. Jackson State, San Jose State, and then also. Northern Colorado.
What's the California Baptist mascot?
Oh, that is a good question.
Because they don't seem to have one. Oh, it says CBU. Are they the CBUs?
I don't know. Is it the Falcons?
I don't know if they. I'm just saying. Usually, because when you look at the Texas website and it says the team, it has the mascot, at least the, you know, it has the image of the mascot there. Like, it's Houston Baptist. They obviously are Wolves. The Texas Lutheran. They're
Lance the Lancer.
What? Yeah, they're the Lancers.
Oh, what? What's a Lancer?
It was first introduced in 1955 when CBU was known as California Baptist College.
You're a Lancer?
A Lancer.
It's like a knight.
For Lance?
Yeah, you're stabbing someone with your lance. It's kind of like a jouster or knight or something
like that.
That's
tough.
Oh, so a Lancer is like a sword fighter?
That's tough.
Yeah.
Oh, man, that's lame. Nobody knows that's what a lance is. Oh, come on. That's why they didn't. You know why they list CBU now? Because they know they just list a sword. That's lame. Come on.
Yeah, Ron, I don't think anybody's saying that the California Baptists are the coolest people, though. So.
Yeah. Very fair
this
point
is
there.
True. Maybe my expectations are too high. True that. Good point there. All right. He's right. I'm looking for way too much out of the California Baptist Lancers. But yeah, I didn't know that. So there you go. I learned something new today.
Now, the women are not going to be in action until Saturday, and they're taking on CSUN.
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 Okay, what's their mascot then?
Well, first off, who are they, right?
What's a CSUN?
California State University at Northridge.
All right. Matadors.
The Matadors.
Okay. There you go. All right. That makes more sense. The Matadors, cool.
But they're going by CSUN.
I know. Why?
Yeah. I saw that. I'm
is that
like,
a new thing that the colleges, instead of going, if their initials are cooler than the mascot,
go with the acronym?
Go with the, yeah, whatever it is.
I guess. But yeah, I saw that. I'm like, who is CSUN? So women are taking them on Saturday. That'll be at the Drum, and that will be a 1 p.m. tip. So a couple of basketball games as we're going to be gone.
They Jackson should run State's through. Doing it too.
Yeah.
Jackson State just has a JSU.
JSU, baby.
What are the Jackson States? Jacksons?
I don't know.
That'd be pretty cool.
The Titos?
The Jackson State Jacksons.
And we got five out there. Jackson's bringing five.
That'd be great. That'd be pretty innovative right there. Jackson State Jacksons.
Oh, God. Texas women really gearing up towards the Big 12 SEC Challenge. That'll be December 5th as they take on Texas A&M and the men. Couple other what should be easy ones: California Baptist, Sam Houston, UTRGV, and then Seton Hall. That'll be December 9th, and that'll be in Newark. Muskrat. Holy crap. Yeah. Sorry, that kind of threw me off there a little bit.
You defeat the purpose of Muskrat.
I didn't mind. Like I didn't mind on that one.
You might as well put your headset off and just go.
Well, I was about to. I was about to. So Texas hoops looking good so far. And I think a lot of Texas fans, their focus is on that.
Yeah,
hopefully stuff gets cleaned up with the football program. It's going to be a really important offseason. But you got two teams that are fun to root for and look like they could be really damn good teams.
Yeah, no, and what I like about the two basketball programs, the two coaches, when you hear them speak, they have clear visions and concise plans on how to accomplish those goals and to get to that vision.
Yeah.
And it is like they have no, like they are boom, boom. I know exactly what I want. And I was like, and you know, that's refreshing. Like
that's mentality.
Yeah, it is. But you can tell like they thought it through. Like they know exactly how they want their program to look, how it's supposed to look. And they know exactly the steps they need to take in order to get there. You know, that's exactly what coaching is. I mean, you got to have a vision for your program, and you got to know how to chart out that path to accomplish that vision. I mean, that's what Sark's got to do. I mean, that's what Sark's got to do this offseason.
Yeah, and it feels like both these coaches, Schaefer in his second year, obviously Beard just got here, they're creating the culture and mentality they want, and it is a tough, physical, we're going to be a gritty
blue
type
collar.
Team, blue collar.
We're going to be the toughest team on the
floor. Football program doesn't have that. Yep. Football program is more, no, four wins, but what's my NIL deal?
No, our basketball teams.
At least it feels that way.
Our basketball teams have edge.
They do.
Like, they both do. Like, I'm not worried about our teams getting punked on the floor.
No.
No, that.
And the baseball program just always has edge.
Yeah, well, of all our programs, they're up there with the swimming and diving.
No,
I mean, it's
you
talk about historically great all time in college sports.
This
greatness.
Is a baseball school.
That's what I'm,
and I've got no problem with that.
That's what I was like. So I
laugh when people go, "This is a basketball school." No, it's not. This is a baseball school.
Yeah. So we're trying to bring the basketball programs. And by the way, the women, that's actually different than the men's, because the women have more clout.
Yeah.
Prodigious clout all the time than the men do. So I'm not even putting them
on
that same
level.
Yes, I'm saying. So I'm not putting them on the same level. But we're both trying to lift those to a different level, to a different stratosphere, if you will. And yeah, I mean, I think we've been in a culture, you got to start with, what do you want to be? When people think about your program, they should be able to sum it up in two or three words. When they think about your program and what it is and what's their identity. With football, unfortunately, those are not complimentary terms. Those
I can give you two or three words, but it's not, exactly. it's not what you want to be identified as.
Yeah, but you know, with Chris Beard, you know exactly what it is, right? You know, they're tough, they're intense, they're physical. Like, you know exactly what the team is. You want their teams, you know, Vic Schaefer, all that kind of stuff. I think that's what Sark's got to figure out. Sit down and figure out, when people think about Texas football, what are the words you want them to say? Because right now you don't like what the words are.
Right. It's not what we'd say right now.
No.
In terms of the men, don't forget we got the Monday game. So in about 6 days, Sam Houston, that'll be at the Greg, which I've always wanted them to play at the Greg.
Oh, that's going to be that's going to be packed.
That's going to be fun,
yeah,
dude.
You got no shot at getting in that thing.
Student-only attendance.
I was going to say, nobody's got any shot at getting in that thing.
No, but that should be one of their best crowds. At least it's going to be loud.
How many people can fit in Gregory?
I don't know.
Volleyball teams. Played there, right?
Yeah.
Plays there.
And it's a fantastic atmosphere.
It is. I've been to a couple of volleyball games.
It's a lot of fun. The swim team taking an article clothing off with every point to where they get down. They're just in their trunks.
Is this a thing?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. They've been doing that since we were in college, man.
Men or women?
Men. It's not that good.
Come on. Well, there's men and women swimming and diving.
Right, I know.
You said the swim team, and I was like,
men.
The swim team
the
goes
men.
In there and they
the
strip
men.
For
the
every
men.
Point?
The men.
No wonder our volleyball team is killing it. Man. Talk about incentive.
Oh,
man,
God.
Come on. That's great. That's still fantastic. I did not know that.
Yeah.
That is a great little nugget.
Nah, it's a good little tradition
there.
That is
cool. Why can't we get people stripping at Texas football games for points?
Ah.
I think we need to start this tradition all over the campus.
We need to change something at DKR. I don't know if stripping is the answer, but I think I have a candidate.
I bet you do. I bet you do.
All right, we're 1 hour in, 3 hours to go. We're at Randall's. We are at Steiner Ranch, FM 620. Get on out here and come say hi. Sign up for Texas and Kansas State. Cowboys are going to be playing on Turkey Day. We'll get into that matchup with the Raiders. Both teams coming off losses. Cowboys not feeling great about where they are. Who's going to play in this game, and what will it look like? This is RBKD on the Horn.